morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is United States against Bates. Mr. Bailey.
If it pleases the court, Chris Bailey appears for Tanya Bates. This is a case to come before the court on an issue of restitution. This is actually the second time the issue of restitution has come before the court. This, of course, was remanded back to the court, district court, for a restitution hearing because it was found that the restitution order was non-mandatory. Now, my first point is that my client used a false Social Security number to try to buy a piece of property. And later on, of course, after the house was sold, there was an issue of whether or not she's responsible for the closing costs and other costs involved in that transaction. As I stated in my brief, I didn't believe that she should be responsible for those amounts because I didn't think it logically flowed from her criminal behavior. Selling property costs money. Of course, there's going to be issues of loan originator fees and other fees that accompany the sale of property. That's going to happen anytime someone sells a piece of real estate in the state of Wisconsin or any state in this country. Part of the closing costs that were cited by Caldwell Banker for property on 46th Street in Milwaukee was a commission fee that was included in the restitution order. I didn't think that was proper, as well as originator points, loan fees, and other matters, appraisals that come with this. The fraud was actually discovered just a few weeks after the checks were presented. Therefore, this property is only off the market for a few weeks. I could not see any additional fees, really, or costs or restitution coming out of that, given the fact it went right back on the market. Now, subsequent sale actually had a profit of almost $6,000. So because the property was not bought by my client, it went back on the market, and of course they made more money off of it than when they first tried to sell it. Now that's why when we had the hearing in front of the Honorable Judge Clavert, that was a matter that was brought up, and basically the credit was given to my client and then they took the remainder. I just don't see how there is that link between what my client did and what happened. She didn't actually move into the property and vandalize it. It wasn't a case where a car was stolen, not recovered, and she's responsible for a car. Of course, this is a house, a property. It didn't go anywhere, and it was still there. In fact, it was acknowledged that she never moved in. She never lived there. And I just had never really come to the understanding as to why she should have to pay any of that restitution. Now, I know that there was it's a little confusing in the original plea agreement about an agreement to pay restitution. My problem with that, too, was obviously the restitution amounts were, one of the restitution amounts was for $73,000, which was over and above the actual cost of the house. Obviously, the subsequent sale was anticipated by the parties, but restitution that actually flows from the transaction should have been assessed by my client. I don't think there was anything that could be shown by the government to show why there was that nexus that would necessitate the payment of restitution. I don't have anything in the record, at least in my opinion, that would reflect that. Because it's real estate, it was sold, and she, I don't think she has any responsibility further than, well, her debt to society for their criminal behavior. But there was nothing really in the record that I saw when I was when I did the hearing that showed she has to pay loan points, she has to pay a commission, because either costs are going to happen when you sell the property.
Can I clarify your argument, counsel? Are you attacking the entirety of the restitution order as revised, or do you have specific arguments with respect to particular line items within that?
The line item specifically is the sale of the Caldwell Banker property on 46th Street. The judge ruled, of course, on the Shore West property that since Shore West took a judgment civilly that that matter was closed. So that's not even, I'm not arguing, of course, and it wasn't really briefed at all. So I don't believe.
But you don't have specific arguments as to the subsets within the restitution order. The subset line items, I mean, the delinquent property taxes, the delinquent water and sewer bill, and the other expenses that constitute the whole of the restitution order. Your argument just goes to the restitution order itself on the basis of this lack of nexus that you've been arguing?
That's one of my arguments, but to be more specific as to the line items within that order, specifically we have, like I said, a commission fee. That's part of the closing cost that was put on the closing statement by Caldwell Banker saying we have a commission fee. Also, if you look through that, we also have amounts for loan originator fee. The total closing cost was $8,900, which is more than the restitution order here. I don't believe any of those costs would have... the costs were going to be paid no matter what, whether my client bought it or not. Typically, in a civil real estate transaction, you lose your earnest money. You don't lose all these other costs involved. I mean, granted, the difference here, of course, is my client's conduct was criminal in nature. But I don't think it logically flows from that to say that she's responsible for closing costs on a property. One of the arguments that was posted at that restitution hearing was, well, Coldwell Banker isn't in the business of holding properties. Other than the municipal tax bill, some delinquent tax and water bills, I didn't see any claims for maintenance or anything like that. But my point would be is that even so, let's say they do want some gap between when the sale occurred and when the fraud was discovered. That was only a few weeks. I believe it was somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks where the property is off the market. Then after that, the length of time it took to sell the property was because of the market. It wasn't specifically because of something my client did to make the property unsellable or in any other way not desirable for the market. So I guess generally speaking, I don't think there's a nexus there because I think these costs are inevitable in selling a property. But specifically, I don't think that those amounts that are within the restitution or that were found by the court are proper because I don't think that they would be assessed.
But you don't contest as an evidentiary matter that Coldwell Banker incurred these costs in connection with this transaction?
No, I can't. Their inevitability of selling a property. I don't think anyone's bought a house with a closing cost. I mean, there are always going to be some points there for loans, appraisals, and everything. Even a courier cost is in there. I just think that's inevitability of just selling the house. I don't think that really logically stems from criminal conduct. Because one way or another, the house is going to be sold. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it stems from criminal activity.
For your client's criminal activity, Coldwell Banker wouldn't have been stuck with these costs, though. Isn't that right, as a factual matter?
Well, I disagree with that simply because the house had to be sold. I mean,
is there any evidence in this record that Coldwell Banker, but for your client's fraud, would have become the owner of this property?
I'd have to say no, but...
Then these are costs that only owners incur, and which Coldwell Banker, therefore, would not have incurred but for your client's fraud.
Well, Your Honor...
Doesn't that just follows as the night the day?
Well, Your Honor, I'm saying anyone who sells a house is going to incur costs. Just the assessment of who pays them, someone's going to pay them, whether it was the seller or...
Well, in this case, that's going to be your client.
But my point would be that she just used a false Social Security number. She didn't actually do anything to the house to make it unsellable. It had to be sold one way or another.
And was she granted informal pauperous status in this court?
Yes, she was.
She has no money to pay the cost anyway.
Well, the judge found that because she had a college education, she had the ability to make payments towards the restitution amount. So there was a finding she could make payments. I believe it was $100 a month. She also had an inheritance when she first came out.
I was wondering why the appeal when we got around her. There is a possibility she might be able to pay.
Right. There was an initial finding, Your Honor, of an ability to pay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Ms. Hoffman.
May it please the court, counsel, my name
Hoffman,
is...
You can lower the podium. There's a switch on the right-hand side.
Little okay. Button. Push it.
There's a red button. Is that the... I don't want to press.
That's the trap door.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised.
Try pushing it. See what happens.
Should I?
Go ahead. Here. Nope. Do the other way.
You know what? I think it was as low as it goes.
Please don't touch
it.
Please do not touch the microphone.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Gail Hoffman. I represent the United States of America. And I was one of the attorneys who handled this in the lower court. I'm going to address several of the court's comments raised, and other than that, I will rest on our submissions. First of all, we recognized our mistake at the outset and felt that the record was insufficient and asked that this be remanded back to the district court for a full determination, which there was. The district court did not abuse its discretion in making this finding, but for the defendant's fraudulent conduct, Caldwell Banker would never have taken title to this property. After the fraud was discovered, money had been paid out to the previous owner, Sylvia Halpern. Money had been paid out to the mortgage company. And what Caldwell Banker did was make the best of a bad situation. But for her actions, they never would have owned this property. During the course of their ownership, they incurred tax bills for 2002. There were delinquent taxes, and there were miscellaneous closing costs. And that is the actual loss suffered by Caldwell Banker, and that is specifically the amount found by Judge Clavert. And based on that, I ask that the court affirm the district court's finding and find that the defendant does owe the sum of restitution as imposed by Judge Clavert. Absent any questions from the court, I rest on our submissions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Bailey?
Just briefly, Your Honor.
I just want to clarify one point. The remand that had occurred in this matter, the section that the defendant pled to eventually, she originally pled to a statutory section that had mandatory restitution. Pursuant to plea agreements with the government, she pled to a different statutory section that had non-mandatory restitution. And then it was a stipulation to send it back to the district court for that. The only thing about Caldwell Banker, one of the remedies they had when they discovered the fraud was that they could have chosen to sue the mortgage company they paid off as well. Not sued them, but they could have done civilly, tried to reverse the transactions, but they chose to take title. And overall, they chose their remedy, and they chose to own it. That was my other position I wanted to make clear to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bailey, and we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case.